Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Every Friday afternoon at this time, we put your questions to people working in maybe different, unusual careers from an interesting background as part of our Ask Me Anything. Today, I'm chatting to Niall Tier, who's an advanced paramedic in Dublin. Niall, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yeah. Lovely to be with you.
How did you get involved in or start working as a paramedic?
Well, I mean, I'm firstly in the lucky cohort of people who actually got the job they dreamt about when they were kids. So I know that's kind of few and far between. You have to be very, very lucky to get that. But when I was in school, I always wanted to be, back then it was called ambulance driver, yeah, or ambulance man, you know. Yeah. This is back in the 90s. And just fast forward into how I actually ended up in it, I applied for the Dublin Fire Brigade in 2003. I was unsuccessful. I applied again in 2005 and I got it. And as part of the Dublin Fire Brigade's service, they do ambulance as well. So I ended up being a firefighter paramedic with Dublin Fire Brigade. Okay. In 2008.
So you're sort of, you do both?
Yeah, really, we're a dual role in Dublin City. Yeah, we do fire EMS. So we're all paramedics in Dublin Fire Brigade. But it's one of the ways you can be a paramedic in Dublin is through the Fire Brigade or through the National Ambulance Service or even through some of the private services ultimately, and across the country then with National Ambulance Service you can do it as well. But I applied for the Dublin Fire Brigade, got it. Then in 2009 I did my paramedic training through the Royal College of Surgeons, ended up being a paramedic till 2016, where I went for the advanced paramedic course, which you could do electively. So you could apply to be an advanced paramedic in Dublin Fire Brigade. Successful at that, so I went to UCD in 2016, became an advanced paramedic, and I've been doing that ever since as part of my firefighting role. Yeah.
Loads of questions coming in about life as a paramedic. It's 087 1400 106 is the number. Chris has sent in this voice note today.
Hi, I'd just like to know the amount of training that's involved in becoming a paramedic, and actually how much that they can actually do before they get people to the hospital. Thank you.
No problem, Chris. Thanks for that question. So basically, at the moment, we have a paramedic class in the Dublin Fire Brigade, and there's no doubt a paramedic class going on in University of Cork. University of Cork do the paramedic course for the National Ambulance Service. So generally, they take the Dublin Fire Brigade one is run through the RCSI. You have to be a member of Dublin Fire Brigade to do that course. So you have to have gotten the job with Dublin Fire Brigade. You can't do it as an outsider. Same with National Ambulance Service at the moment. Now, I'll get back to that a little bit later on, because you can do it after school through the University of Limerick. But at the moment, the Dublin Fire Brigade course is approximately 2 years. It's run through the Royal College of Surgeons. You do about 14 weeks in class. There's a current class in there at the moment. They'll come out then. They'll work in a fire station in Dublin with us, and they'll be rostered on an ambulance duty doing third man for their first 7 days and nights. And then they'll do about a year as second man, as an undergraduate intern. And then they do secondary exams. They have more projects. So it's a proper course. It's
full-time
a level
course,
yeah,
really,
it's actually a level 7, as far as I know. It's a level 7 diploma in emergency medicine done through the RCSI. It takes 2 years. So our current recruit, who we have at the moment in our station, is currently doing his hours as second man. And he's still a good bit of a road ahead of him now to get through his paramedic. So to answer Chris's question, it takes 2 years with Dublin Fire Brigade. And with the NAS, it takes, which is National Ambulance Service, by the way, takes about 3 years through the University of Cork. And that's a level 8 Bachelor of Science Honours degree. And they're currently advertising, by the way, at the moment.
If you're thinking of getting involved as a paramedic. Okay. Question in as well, a voice note to Niall from Adam.
Hi, I was just wondering how you cope with the degree of stress doing that job, you know, knowing that you could be the difference in someone living or dying.
Good question, Adam. Yeah. Good question. It's kind of the question you get asked when you meet people and you tell them that's the job you do as well, about stress and stuff like that. You know, the thing is, when you put your uniform on and you're in your role in your job, you know, you're so focused on that role. Like, it's different if you're off duty. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So in our job, when we have our uniform on, we're working with each other and we're never alone, for example. So you have a lot of support with your colleagues. You're trained really, really well. And it's sort of an expected part of the job, having that stress. So we deal with it, I mean, routinely. I think where the stress comes in for us, Adam, is when something unusual happens or we go to something we don't expect to be going on, and then you have to adapt to a kind of a changing situation, and that can be quite stressful. But we deal with it sort of routinely. It's not something that stresses out too much, because our training is really, really, really good.
Yeah.
You know, and you're trained to deal with that.
Yeah, whether you're arriving, you know, I know we're talking to you today in your role as a paramedic or even with Dublin Fire Brigade, like you're often probably first responders at the scene.
Yeah.
Like you're there at the worst of times.
Yeah, you're there literally probably first when everything has just happened, and it's in a development situation, both medically. If it's a car crash, for example, it could be quite a dangerous situation. In our case, it could be a fire as well. It could be anything. Particularly where there's violence involved, it can be very, very dangerous for us going in as well. So there's all those kind of stresses going on in the background too. you know, you just learn through your training how to cope with that,
to manage
and you learn with experience how to cope with it as well. You get a kind of a sixth sense for a lot of things when you go in, but you can manage your stress fairly well. And we look after each other as well. We're never alone, so we feel a bit
the
safer
team
together.
Bond.
Yeah, big time. Yeah.
087-1400-106 is the WhatsApp number. Listeners wondering, is it terrifying from watching? You know, on TV, you never have calm moments. As all of the work seems to be, very stressful environments.
You know, it's probably when you watch a lot of the stuff on telly, it's obviously made for telly. So it's very, you know, storylined. A lot of the time it is nowhere near as mental as that. And then again, there's about 10% of it that's way more mental than that. So it just depends. You do get scared. Yeah. And you wouldn't be human if you didn't sometimes think, oh, my God,
normal.
You know, but again, you're trained, like you're so well trained in a job like ours that, you know, it just takes over your task. You're task orientated. You know, you're there to do that job. You know, you're there to do that job. And you kind of just, you learn to control your fear. You learn to control your emotions. And you just click into that mode, you know.
Listener says, have you ever had to perform a large medical intervention like a surgery when you were called out to an emergency?
No, our scope of practice doesn't cover that, unfortunately. We do some, as advanced paramedics in particular, we do some invasive skills. So one, for example, that a lot of people may or may not know is we do IO insertion, which is intraosseous. That's into the bone. Usually only used in really drastic life or death situations like cardiac arrest. And that's where we can't get IV access. We can actually use a military skill called intraosseous. So we drill into the leg bone, which can be pretty harrowing for anyone who's never seen it before, whether they're practitioners or whether they're family members or bystanders or whatever. But yeah, we can do a lot of invasive therapies. We don't do any surgery. Now, I think coming online soon, we may be able to do like staples and stuff like that because the practice is ever evolving. But we do some not quite surgery, but we do the likes of chest decompression for
stabilizing
thorax.
People,
yeah,
isn't it?
We
yeah.
do that as well.
Okay.
We can go in and do creak, we call it, I can never pronounce it, but it's emergency tracheostomy, basically needle crike, we call it, which is where we give emergency airways to people.
Oh,
never
yes.
done it, very rarely done, thank God. But we can do things like that, but actual surgery, nope.
No. We've a voice note in as well from Jackie.
As someone who is highly trained, what goes through your mind while saving someone? Are the moments when you question the correctness of your actions or contemplate the potential consequences of getting it wrong?
I'm sure it's always in your mind.
Yeah, it is. And good question, Jackie. It's like when you're dealing with something really, really serious, with very bad injuries, even could be somebody having a heart attack, things like that, things that are life or death. The first thing I always think about is what's going to kill this person quickly? And I kind of work backwards from there. Or if I'm trying to make a kind of simple diagnosis of how to treat somebody, what could this be that would be life-threatening? So if it's somebody with chest pain, well, the worst thing that could be is a heart attack. So let's rule that out first. So I always kind of go with the most life-threatening potential outcome of the situation. Either rule it in or rule it out, treat it accordingly, try and stabilize the person and work away backwards. So that's what goes through my mind. I'm sure it goes through pretty much every other paramedic or AP out there as well, is what's going to kill this person right now?
And try and work from
and
there.
And try and work from there, yeah.
Do you ever get called out to a lot of stupid things, people with stupid issues that they definitely didn't need a paramedic for? What's the maddest thing you've ever been called out to?
You've been called out to some mad stuff, all right. You know, I'm always a little bit careful about sort of differentiating between what's appropriate for a 999 call or not, in the sense that, you know, my sense of emergency and your sense of emergency, Andrea, could be completely different to somebody else who's in their 90s, for example, and has a vomiting bug, you know, kind of way. So, you know, it's easy to get into that trap of, oh, we can call out for this, but, you know, we're paid professionals to do a job, look after the people of Ireland, the citizens of Dublin, in my case, and Ireland. And, you know, our job is to respond to their emergency call, whether we deem it to be a bit silly or not. So that's one of the things. But to actually answer the question, we have got calls for people who say, I'm due in the hospital at 10 o'clock for my appointment. You know, I think calling 999 is going to bring me to the hospital for an appointment, things like that.
It's nearly a chauffeur.
Absolutely,
driver.
Yeah. Oh, listen, unfortunately, there is that little bit of a mindset as well. But I wouldn't deter people from ringing 999 if they do feel they have a true emergency.
No cats in trees and things like that.
Well, we do in the fire service on the odd occasion,
You get a cat in a tree story.
You like a cat in a tree every now and then. But no, I mean, I do differentiate between sort of, you know, pontificate about when or when not to call an ambulance. The one thing I would say to people is a good message to get across to the public is you don't get seen any quicker if you go in with a minor-ish complaint. Like if you hit your thumb 3 weeks ago and you call an ambulance, you're not going to get seen any quicker.
Good
if you
to know.
By ambulance.
Listeners wondering, how many babies have you delivered?
Okay, wow. Another question got asked at parties. I've delivered one in the last 2 months.
Wow.
That was me and another guy. We were actually on the fire truck doing that, but just so you understand as well, listen out there, the advanced paramedic role, we do it on the fire truck as well as the response car, as well as the ambulance. So we interchange our role as the advanced paramedic. So we turned up the fire truck. Yeah, we delivered a baby. I've delivered probably I've been involved in four deliveries, and I've delivered one with my own hands, if you know what
right.
I mean. Caught a baby in the last 2 months. Once, would you believe? But I've been involved. We actually were in the newspaper about 6-7 years ago for one high profile one at the side of the road.
Right.
So if Cooper,
any babies?
Cooper, if you're listening, congratulations. Yeah. I hope you're doing well.
Any of them called after you?
No. When I tell them my name is Niall, they look at me and go, you're all right.
Yeah. So Cooper was the one you were involved
with. Yeah, Cooper's in the paper. Yeah, that was it. We got that on the truck as well. And unfortunately, I was going to get my bag, and our senior paramedic at the time just caught the baby and he looked in the door.
Right.
So I missed that one by default, but I checked the baby after. But I've been involved in probably four, I'd say, and then five, the one I delivered.
Fantastic.
There recently.
Yeah. I imagine it's a challenging job, but probably very rewarding as well.
Massively rewarding. I mean, what's rewarding about our job is being able to make a difference almost immediately in someone's situation.
Mm.
You meet people sometimes, and most of the time
at the worst
moments of their life.
Yeah.
You're there to help them, you know, even trivial stuff, in the sense of it's not massive Hollywood, you know, medical intervention, but reassuring them, holding their hands, you know, calm them down.
Simple. Brilliant. We've another voice note from this listener.
Hello, I am currently waiting to be called up to the campaign for the student paramedics in the NAS. I was wondering what is the best way to deal with the difficulty of the exams and the training, and what are different techniques and whatnot. Thanks.
Okay, so that's somebody going for national.
Yeah.
I suppose, you know, if you can look at, certainly it's quite academic. Even the paramedic course now is quite academic, not even the AP course. The paramedic course is quite academic. So even looking into baseline kind of pharmacology, things like that, you have to learn anatomy. If you can get some simple apps on your phone is a really good example. Bring you to simple anatomy, simple pharmacology, things like that. That might be something you could certainly prepare for. So you have a bit of a base when you go in to learn these things, because they're the academic side of things that you really have to know going to be a paramedic. You have to know.
That's what you need to study up on.
You have to know anatomy and physiology. You have to know pharmacology. Now, they do teach you that, but the more of a, I suppose, introduction you have to that, the better. So if you can get some apps to do that, as far as I'm sure you know this, if you apply for National Ambulance Service, you need your C1 driving licence as well. So make sure you have that, because that might unstick you if you arrive on the first day.
Good to have that early on. Yeah. We've one final one as well, Niall.
Hiya, I don't have a question, but I just do want to say to the paramedic, thank you so much for everything that you do, and to paramedics everywhere in Ireland. You were absolutely all amazing at what you do. You are incredible people. Thank you from everyone.
That's lovely.
Yeah, it's lovely. That is absolutely lovely.
Yeah, that's really nice. Thank you to that listener.
Look, I think most of us joined this job to help people, and you know, to hear somebody who's probably been helped by a paramedic in the past, you know, to know that you can make that difference to people is why we joined the job. So that's brilliant. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much to that listener indeed. Niall Tier, thank you to you as well for joining us today, Advanced Paramedic in Dublin. Lovely to meet you.
No worries. Lovely.
Thanks for joining us in studio.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.